hypocrisy, I think, is one of those things in our culture that most people agree is a pretty bad thing. It also, I think, happens to be one of the most misused words in our culture. Hypocrite is often used to label people who claim to be Christian but do something wrong. That's not hypocrisy, because being a Christian doesn't mean being perfect. Being a Christian means to be aware of our need for Christ and to be in process of becoming more like Christ. So just because we kind of mess up on that journey doesn't make us a hypocrite. The idea of being a hypocrite is not restricted, actually, to religious people. The word literally in Jesus' day was used to refer to an actor. People who put on a literally an actor, but Jesus means it for people who put on a show for others. People who kind of present an airbrushed image of themselves to the world. So hypocrisy is something that Christians and non-Christians, religious people, not religious people, do. Present a front to the world. We do it with things like Facebook profiles and how we present ourselves there. We do it with the stories that we tell or the stories that we don't tell. We do it with religion as well. Hypocrisy is really about self-PR. Engaging in public relations for our own image, to boost our image in the eyes of others. Religiosity is just one tool that hypocrites can use, especially in a culture where being spiritual or pious or religious gains approval from others. And thus, religiosity and spiritual practices can be a danger in the church and in our culture. Jesus speaks to the danger of hypocrisy among religious people, and he suggests that secrecy is the prescription for hypocrisy. If hypocrisy is the diagnosis, secrecy is the prescription. Secrecy, at least when we're talking about the soul training exercise of secrecy, is intentionally keeping our good deeds from being known. And so you'll see this week that our bowl that symbolizes our lives is filled with images of approval, whether it be, let's see if I can find some, you know, a thumbs up from others, applause, a stamp of approval, you know, the like button on Facebook. These are all things that we seek, we crave people's approval for us. And the soul training exercise of secrecy empties our lives of other people's approval. Secrecy, the soul training exercise of secrecy, is not the secrecy then of shame. It is the secrecy of knowing whose opinion really matters, who really needs to know what we do and who we are, and that's God. So this morning we're going to look at how secrecy empties us of other people's approval and praise. We're going to look at how we are filled by God in secrecy, and then we're going to talk about practicing the soul training exercise of secrecy. So first, emptying. Secrecy empties us of other people's praise. If they don't know the good things we do, they can't praise us for the good things that we've done. I want to take a little bit of time in Matthew's text, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5 through 7, and that was part of that was read this morning. And in Matthew 6, Jesus takes three classic spiritual practices. Giving alms, which is basically giving to the poor. Praying and fasting. And these are spiritual practices in pretty much any religion, not just in the Christian or Jewish traditions. He takes these three classic spiritual practices and shows how they can actually be used by hypocrites to present a different idea to the world of who they are. How are hypocrites acting by using these spiritual practices? Well, what they're doing is pretending that they're about God when really they're about themselves. So these spiritual practices like giving alms and praying and fasting, when people look at people who practice those things, generally they think, wow, they really love God. They're a good Christian, or they're a good Jew in this case. These are signs of spirituality and of God, someone who's really focused on who God is and God's love. But really, what these hypocrites are doing is they're using these practices so that people will think highly of them. Do you see how that's pretending? How that's putting on a show? How that's acting? Making people think you're about God when really that's all you care about is people's opinion about you and their praise for you. And we see this in verse 2 of chapter 6. Jesus begins with giving alms or giving to the poor. He says, "So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others." And that word for praise, Jesus has used before in the Sermon on the Mount. He's actually used it before in a passage we read this morning. He says that the goal of the kingdom of God, in chapter 5, verse 16, he says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." It's the same word as praise. Give glory is the same word as praise in chapter 6. But in chapter 5, Jesus wants our works to result in people giving praise and glory to God, whereas in chapter 6, these people are giving alms so that the praise and glory will be given to them. That's the difference. That's where hypocrisy comes in. In hypocrisy, the goal is self-glorification. I want others to think highly of me. I want others to praise me. And the means towards self-glorification is self-promotion. Self-promotion. So, I think if we want to spot hypocrisy, if we want to recognize hypocrisy in our lives and in our churches and in these types of places, where we need to look is where do we see self-promotion? Where do we see ourselves or where do we see our church or what have you promoting ourselves or itself? Because Jesus' promise is very clear, and he says it over and over again. He sums it up in verse 1 of chapter 6. "For then you have no reward from your Father in heaven." If we are seeking people's approval, Jesus says you may very well get it. If you're seeking people's praise, you may very well get it. But that's all you get. Jesus is asking us, what are we really seeking? What rewards are we seeking? He doesn't say, don't seek rewards. He just says, where are you seeking the rewards from? What's going on in your heart? Is your ultimate reward to be liked and get all kinds of likes on Facebook or to get all kinds of thumbs up or good jobs from people? Or is your ultimate reward to receive whatever God has to give you? Secrecy is Jesus' prescription for our hearts. It's his prescription for hypocrisy. So how do we recognize hypocrisy if we are living lives where hypocrisy is a big part of our lives? I think we have to ask ourselves the question, how active is our PR department? How active is our personal PR department? Individually, how much am I motivated by other people and their opinions of me and their approval of me? And I think we would be amazed, and I am constantly amazed at myself, not in a good way, how much we crave other people's approval. How much other people's opinions of us drive the kinds of things we do, decisions we make, words we speak. Ask yourself, how do you respond when someone doesn't thank you for something that you've done for them? Do you say, oh, well, the nerve of some people. Can you believe I did this for them and they didn't even thank me? Ask yourself, are you the hero of all your own stories? Think about the stories you tell. Are you the hero of them? Are you always the one who did good? Or who was right? Or at least you're not the one who was wrong? Do you tell people or complain to people about the story of someone cutting you off on the road and how they almost killed you? But you don't tell people the story when you accidentally, maybe you're not even aware of it, when you actually cut someone else off on the road and how you almost caused an accident. That's editing. That's public relations marketing editing. If we're the hero or the right one or the good one in all of our stories and all the things we talk about, that's our own public relations. And we might be seeking the approval of others before the approval of God. As a church, we need to ask ourselves this question too, because God never tells us to market ourselves. He never tells us to market and actively make public our good deeds. He simply asks us to become like Christ. When he says in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine before others," he's not saying publicize yourself. He's just saying be who you are. He says, "A city on a hill cannot be hidden." And Dallas Willard has a helpful quote on this. You have the whole quote in your bulletin on page 5, I believe, but I'm just going to read part of it. He talks about this quote, "You are a city on a hill," or "a city on a hill that cannot be hidden." He says, "Jesus, surely with some humor, remarked that a city set on a hill cannot be hid." He goes on to say, "Quite candidly, if it is possible for our faith and works to be hidden, perhaps that only shows they are of a kind that should be hidden. If we can hide our faith and our good works, then maybe they should just be hidden. Maybe they're a city on a hill cannot, no matter how hard we try, be hidden, let alone do we need to publicize ourselves." This is the difference, as I've talked about a few weeks ago, between being a business and being a covenant community. Businesses market themselves. Businesses publicize the good things they do. Marketing is a business strategy to grow a business. Transformation is God's strategy for the church. When the church uses marketing and publicity, it's short-circuiting the process of transformation, of becoming the light, of being the salt, of just simply being the city on a hill. Secrecy is shutting down our PR department. And when we do that, we start to see how much we're really fueled by other people's approval and what other people think of us. We shut down our PR department, we practice secrecy so that we can be filled then by God's sufficiency. The sufficiency of what God thinks of us. In secrecy, we are reminded that it's God's opinion that matters most. That one day, when our eternal destiny is in the balance, we will stand before one person. We will stand before God, who knows exactly who we are and what we've done. It's his opinion that ultimately matters. And God's stance towards us doesn't change like people's approval. God faces us and he looks at us with love. He looks at us in grace. And he's not asking us to be super spiritual people, super religious people. He's asking for us to engage his love, receive his grace, and live it out. That's all. God's love for us does not depend on our success. It doesn't depend on our failure. And it certainly doesn't depend on what other people think about us. Thomas A. Kempis, who's a classic Christian writer on spirituality, writes, "You are not holier, though you be praised, nor the more vile, though you be blamed. What you are, you are." He goes on to say that God knows exactly who you are. So we might be able to fool people for a while with our spiritual practices and our religiosity and any of the other things we use to put on a show. But we can't fool God. God knows who we are at heart. People's approval is kind of like an appetizer. It's nice while it lasts, but it doesn't last and it doesn't fill us up. We can go seeking people's approval and trying to get this person's or this group's approval after another. But ultimately, it will not fill us up and it doesn't last. Now, I really struggled with how to say this week. Because we are a very individualistic culture, and actually we really like this idea that forget everyone else's opinion. Mine's the only one that matters, or something like that. All right? This whole thing is not against community. God wants us to listen to each other, okay? He wants us to be able to be challenged by another, and people should be able to correct us. But the question at hand here is a heart question. It's not an action question. Sometimes people have a clearer image of ourselves than we even do. Okay, so we need other people. We need community. We need to have people who can just tell us the truth about ourselves. All right? But the question is, are we putting on a show for them? Are we putting on a show for other people's approval? Are we doing things around other people that we don't do on our own? That's the question at hand here. Does that kind of make sense, what I'm saying? It's not that other people's opinions of us don't matter at all if they're true opinions. The question is, are we only seeking their approval? Am I preaching for your approval, or am I preaching because I think this is what God wants me to say? Are you singing because you think you have a good voice, or not singing because you don't think you have a good voice? Or are you simply singing because you want to praise God? Okay, it's a heart question. What's our motivation? What drives us? What fuels us? Is it other people's approval? Or is it the love of God? Secrecy helps us to focus on what is most important. And that is God's opinion of us. How God looks at us. The love and the grace. Why do we so desperately need and crave other people's approval if God, the creator of the universe, loves us and cares for us? Why do we fixate on our own deeds, on our own work, when God has done things that are far more important? Why do we waste our words telling people what we've done when God has done stuff that is far more important? The cross that frees us from sin, the resurrection that gives us new life, the new creation that God is making all around us. When we dwell on these things instead of our own things, we start to see that it is far more important to make Christ known than it is to make ourselves known. It is far more important to talk about the goodness and love of Christ than it is to talk about the things that we've done that are good and loving. And it's these things that fill us up when we practice secrecy, when we empty ourselves of the preoccupation with what other people think of us and gaining their approval. All right, so how do we practice secrecy? What is this whole soul training secrecy thing? Here are a few steps. First step in secrecy is to prayerfully brainstorm some creative ways that you can show love to others, that you can serve others. Who are some people in your life that you can go out of your way to serve, that may have needs? Maybe even people who you really don't like or don't like you. What are some creative ways you can serve them and love them as Jesus commanded us to do? All right, so come up with a little list. Then choose one or a few of them or all of them and prepare a simple way of carrying out that act of service without being known. All right? So you want to do it in a way that doesn't draw attention to yourself, ideally so that no one knows that you did it. All right. Now, be careful. The plan is not the most important thing here. We're not looking for James Bond 007, you know, crawling through the vents and doing some act of service kind of thing. Okay, we don't need that. Just a simple way of doing an act of love and service so that other people don't know that you did it, so that you don't receive credit for it. And also, don't lie about it. Okay, we're not encouraging lying here. If it comes out somehow that you were the one who did this thing, fine, just accept it and move on. But the key is your heart and your motivation. And if you did it without the motivation of getting credit or receiving approval, that's the key here. Once you have carried out this action of service and love, this should go without saying because it's called secrecy, do not tell anyone what you've done. Obviously, don't tell the recipient of the good act, but also don't tell anyone else, because you don't know whose opinion you really crave, whose approval you really crave. It might not be the person you served. It might be the person who you most want to tell that you served. So don't tell anyone about what you did. And then pray. Pray that God would use whatever actions you've done to draw people into His love, to help people to know His goodness and His care for them. Because that is the ultimate goal of our love and service. That people would see our good works, not us, our good works, and glorify their Father in heaven. So pray that God would do that. Pray that God would take that little seed you planted and grow it up into praise and glory for Him. Reflect on what is going on in your heart during this whole period. Pay attention to that heart, because this is about your heart. Beware of pride building up. Okay, so when we take out other people's approval and credit, there's this vacuum. And sometimes we're the ones who want to just jump right in that vacuum and start patting ourselves on the back. Oh, look at what I did. And we get focused on our opinion of ourselves still instead of God's. Okay, so beware of pride. But also notice any urges that you have to share this with others. Okay? Who is it that you want to tell? Why do you want to tell other people? When is it that you have these urges to share what you've done with others? Okay, so pay attention to that. And then, this is the most important thing. Let God draw you into His work. Let God draw you into the gospel rather than yours. You've done the good thing. All right, forget about it. And just rest in God's goodness, what God has done for you, what Jesus has done on the cross and the resurrection, and what He's done in your life right now. Focus on that. That is the most important thing. Not what we do, what God has done. And I want to encourage you all, before recess on Wednesday, to try this once. To try and do one act of service and love without being known before Wednesday. And then I'll ask you about it, and we'll all share about all the things we've done. No, we're not going to do that, okay? It's secrecy, all right? No one caught that, okay? That was a bad joke, I'm sorry. That would totally defeat the purpose, all right? No, we're not going to talk about what we did, but we are going to talk more about secrecy on Wednesday, and I encourage you to do one thing and reflect on how your heart feels about that, okay, before Wednesday. Boy, tough crowd. The ultimate question here is, where does your life point? Does your life point other people to Jesus? Or does your life point other people to yourself? Do our actions as a church point other people to Jesus to glorify their Father in heaven? Or do they point to ourselves as a church? We only need a magnifying glass to see things that are too small to be seen by the naked eye. We only need to use marketing and public relations and publicity if our light is so dim that other people can't see it. Secrecy is Jesus' prescription for hypocrisy. It's a way for us to forget ourselves and to get lost in the wonder of the gospel. Let's pray. Gracious God, free us from the bondage of always having to seek other people's approval, of always trying to manage what other people think of us, of always having to present our best side and put our best foot forward. Free us from that. Help us to simply be who we are in You, loved, gifted, called children of God. And help us to simply live out that love. Help us to simply follow You, whether other people see us or they don't see us. Help us to seek first Your kingdom. And let other people's opinions be of us what they may. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.